Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1. We'll read verses 7 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Daniel, chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Daniel chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, outside the weather was a bit dreary this morning and rainy. Yet we have the sunlight of Jesus Christ here in our hearts and in our buildings. Lord, your presence is real, and it's exciting. Thank you for a great hour this morning in Sunday school and what we learned. And yet we stand before you needy. Lord, we're in desperate need because we're sinners. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to do his work in our hearts and our lives today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I have the privilege of speaking on what I think is my favorite subject. I am a novice at it, but I enjoy speaking about it. The sermon today is entitled, Tender Love. Tender Love. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel here is in captivity. He is a slave. This prince of the eunuchs is his overseer, or virtually he is his slave master, if you will. But Daniel somehow builds a good relationship with this man. The Bible says that they share a tender love. Matter of fact, it was built to the point where the Bible says that these men loved each other enough that this slave master was willing to risk his life for Daniel. Because the prince of the eunuchs says in verse number 10, I am about to endanger my head to the king for you. Well, I'll tell you something, Daniel, something good must have happened here for Daniel to have won the heart of this man and for them to share such love. I mean, let me point something out. This is not a family member. You see, we're pretty good at this thing, or we ought to be, in loving within the family, but this is somebody outside the family. I want to talk to you today about this thing of love, but I want you to know there is a price to pay if you're truly going to love people the way you ought to love people. To some, the lesson today I don't think will mean much to you, but to others who are serious Christians, if you'll sit up and listen, I'll give you an advanced course on love and what it costs today, if you will. In this case, someone said, I'm willing to risk my neck. And he meant it. I could get my head cut off in an effort to be your friend, Daniel, and to love you. There are people in this church who do not love this church, but you love what this church does for you. You and yours are about as far as your commitment goes. There are others who not only love what they get out of this church, but they love the church. And they love to be contributors to the church's well-being. These are the ones that make the church what it is. These are the love givers, not just the love receivers. These are your long-term, long-lasting, loyal solid, dependable church members. You say, I don't know that I fit into that category. Then if you'll listen and learn today, you could fit into that category, because that's the category we're all to grow into, and that is those long-term, long-lasting, loyal, dependable, stable church members. Hey, and love is an essential in arriving at that state and to be described in that way. I love the song, Love Lifted Me. You've heard it time and time again. I was sinking deep in sand, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. We go into the chorus. Love lifted me. There could be an echo, even me. Love lifted me, even me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Hey, and I'm glad that love lifted me, and I think you're glad that love lifted you, but let me ask you a question. Have you learned anything from the song? Because love lifted you a long time ago. Who have you been lifting by your love? Oh, we all like to sing about how love lifted me. And I love the song, and the song is written about people that were dead in their trespasses and sins, and they got born again, and somebody's praising God for their salvation. But there's a lesson to be learned here. There are other people that need to be lifted, not just me. If I were preaching on pride, I would want to be careful with this song, because over and over again it says, I was sinking deep in sin. Hey, you hear it over and over again? I, me. My, me, me, me. Hey, and I'm glad that we trusted Christ as Savior and we can sing this song. But after we trusted Christ as Savior, we're to go lift somebody else. I hate to admit to it, but folks, the human race is basically stingy. To be loved is our desire. But when we become spiritual, we realize to love others is our duty, to love others is our honor, and to love others is our responsibility. The Bible, you can almost interchange the word love and charity in the Bible. Let me read to you. When you hear the word charity, you should think love. Let me read to you two or three verses about this subject, this topic, this quality called love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Love is a teacher. Now, has the love of God towards you turned you into a teacher where you're teaching others love? You have definitely been taught something about love just by having been the recipient of the great lover of the universe. But what is that yielding in your life? Well, you say, I love that. Come on, God. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Well, wait a minute. Love was to be teaching you not to just gobble it in for yourself, but to be teaching it and passing it on to someone else. Love edifieth, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14 says, let all your things be done with charity. There's that word love again. Notice it says all that we do should be done in love. Not some, but all. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. We're to be an example to the believers about how to love. Your love should be edifying somebody else on how to love. Are you a pure, biblical teacher of love? Is anybody looking at you and saying, I'm learning to love from him. I'm learning to love from her. Love is the Christian's trademark. The world does not understand or practice real love. Unspiritual Christians practice unspiritual love. See, love is not just a friend's benefit. It is a main power source and motivator for the Christian. Love is not just an ooey-gooey feeling. Love is a commanded spiritual behavior that we are to learn, practice, and teach in our Christian lives. I want to talk to you about love for a while today. If I had known we would be so groggy from the humidity, I may have preached a sermon today where I would swing from the chandeliers. I'm not going to. I am going to teach us about the subject of love. You will have to overcome the humidity by character and listen, but I'll promise you, if you'll listen today, people ask, how long did it take you to prepare this sermon? This is one of those that has taken a lifetime to gather the principles in what I'm going to teach you. Let me tell you some things about the subject of love. As you look around, the ones that are least most interested are the ones that are most interested in getting love for themselves and show very little interest in learning how to give it away. Oh, listen, my friend, as Christians, we are to be loving people. Let's start out at an obvious point. God loves us. God loves you and God loves me, and that's the best news I can give you today. We've heard it over and over again, and I never get tired of quoting and reading the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, that's good news. That's still true. That's a wonderful truth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is love. And God is still love. God has always been love, and God will always be love. God is our example of love. God is our great teacher of love. God is your love instructor. Are you learning from your teacher? You know, sometimes you blame the teacher for your lack of being educated. Well, you can't blame this teacher. God is the one that edifies you about love. He has taught it to you in a book. He's expressed it to you in His love for you. He has given you example after example after example. Listen, if you're not getting it, you can't blame the teacher this time. God is love. God is our example of God. Love. God loves us even when we don't love Him. God loves us even when we don't love others. God loves us even when we don't obey Him. God's love is based on His principles, not on your personality. There's a lot to be learned from God about love. Now let's go to the book that God wrote. Let's see what we can learn from God about this subject of love. Number two, we are commanded to love people. We're commanded to love people. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart and fervently. You are commanded to love the brethren of the church. We are commanded to do that. Hey, you're not right with God if you don't love the brethren. If there's somebody in this church that you don't love, there's something wrong with your Christianity. We are to love the brethren. The Bible, it doesn't just say we are to love the brethren. It says we are to love them fervently. That means with intensity. It says here we're to love them from a pure heart. You say, what does it mean to love from a pure heart? In other words, you're not loving them because of the gain for yourself. Oh, there are some that give to get, but the purest kind of love gives to give. The purest kind of love needs no reciprocation. You give because of what you are, not because of what you'll get. By giving. We are to love one another because of what we are and whose we are, not because of what the object is. And that is to be an intense love. God commands that you and I love the brethren. He commands that we love our enemies. Luke 6:27 it says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Here God tells us that we are to love our enemies. Hey, God didn't say, love my enemies. No, I think God wants us to love everybody. God's saying, love your enemies. There's some of us, we think that, well, if we love somebody that doesn't like God, we're doing God a big favor. God said, that's easy. Hey, it's easy. Look, folks, it's easy for you to love God's enemies. God said, I want you to love your enemies. Somebody's got it out for God. You say, well, I'll just love them. They're all mixed up. But somebody has got it out for me. I'm not going to love them. Oh, God said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. He goes on, he says, you even love them if they hate you. You know, somebody could virtually be an enemy but not hate. This is somebody that's your enemy in an intense way. God tells us we're to love people. We're commanded to do it. Hey, in Luke 6:35 it says, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Notice, it says that here, love has an action to it. It says, do good unto them. It doesn't say just say that you love. You're supposed to do good because it is an expression of your love. So it's not just think love or talk love. It is to do good love. Love is action. Love is motion. Love, true love, will move you. Love is not just pondered. Love creates something. Something happens because of love. In other words, we're to express our love. We're to prove our love. We are to act upon our love. We're to convince people of our love. You are to love more than just the people that live in your house. Daniel here had a very, very precious, or the Bible says it was a tender love. And this was not with somebody in their household. This was not Daniel's brother. Let me ask you this question. Who outside your family in this church knows that you fervently, with a pure heart, loves them? Say, well, Brother Owens, I'm a Christian lady and I dress right. I didn't ask if you dress right. I asked who outside of your family members in this church knows that you, in a pure, fervent way, love them. Well, Brother Owens, I love the old King James Bible. I didn't ask you if you love the King James Bible. I asked you who outside of your family in this church knows that with a pure heart and with a fervency that you love them. Well, Brother Owens, I'm faithful to church. I didn't ask if you were faithful to church. I asked who inside this church, outside your family, knows that you fervently, with no purpose of reciprocation, love them deeply. Because love is the true mark of a Christian. I say, number one, God loves us. He's our great teacher. I say, number two, we are commanded to love people. I say, number three, the more people you love, the more people you can love. The more people you love, the more people you can love. Philippians 1:9 says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The word abound there means overflow. Did you know that your love can abound? Does your love abound? Ask yourself, do I have abounding love overflowing? What do you mean by that? You have more love than what somebody needs. Your love exceeds their need. Your love exceeds what they feel like they need. The Bible here talks about abounding love by a Christian. I say the more people you love, the more people you can love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Here, Paul said, hey, you are loving, and you've been taught by God to love, but that ought to be increasing. That ought to be growing. And the more people you love, the more people you can love. Here it talks about increasing more. And more, what are we talking about? We are talking about your love increasing in quality, and we are talking about the number, the quantity of people you love. It's a little bit like lifting weights. As a person works out in lifting weights, the more weight you lift today, the more weight you'll be able to lift tomorrow. Love's the same way. The more you love today, the greater your potential for love tomorrow. If you're new at this thing of being a godly Christian, you say, I'm not real sure how to love people. You start where you're at and you start lifting the weight of loving what you can. And that'll build you up to where you can love some more, and then some more, and then some more. We cannot expect somebody that's been in the church for a month to be able to love to the depth and the quantity of people that somebody's been in the church for 40 or 50 years. But let me tell you something. If you've been in this church for 40 or 50 years, and you can't figure out who would testify of being taught love by you and seeing love in you, boy, you're running far, far behind. You are feeble in your love because you should be growing in your love. As a fundamentalist, so you say, well, I'm growing in my separation, and I'm glad you are. But are you growing in your love? In your love. It's like lifting weights. The more you lift, the more capable you are to lift additional weight. The more you love, the more love can be produced. It's like eating food. This illustration will help you. The more you pack in your belly on Monday, the more hungry you're going to be on Tuesday because you done stretched your gut. Y'all know what I mean. One of the things to get your appetite under control is to get your gut back down to not wanting so much, not being so far stretched. And you know something? Some of you need to stretch your heart. There's more love. You ought to be filled with more love. Some have unstretched hearts. You have a little heart. You've not exercised the muscle of love and built it up to a greater capacity. You add, if you will, one person at a time, and you increase your love productivity. Do you love more people today than you did this time last year? Thank God, I just, you know, meet my wife, my kids, that's it. Well, then you're not right with God. But I tithe. There's something more important than your money that's supposed to be given. No, that's not true. Keep giving your money. Do you love more people today than this time last year? We want to talk about growth. Well, let's grow. Let's grow in this quality called love. You see, we're stingy. We want only quality of love to grow for the select few that we choose to give it. God wants both quantity to grow and quality to grow. And the more people you love, the more people you can love. You're not going to learn to love two until you love one. And you're not going to learn to love three until you've loved two. And it's a growing thing. And there are people in this room, it's time for you to grow in your love. In your love. Let me go on. Number four, the more you love, the more it will cost you. The more you love, the more it will cost you. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Labor of love. Love is work. The more you love, the more there will be labor that proves, exercises, and expresses that love. Love is not a ooey-gooey, lazy, sit-on-the-couch feeling. Love makes something happen. There's not much love in America today because there is not much character in America today. Because to truly love God's way can be work. The more labor, the more time. More labor, more energy. More love means more investment by the lover. Stingy people do not love right. Love cost God His Son. Love costs you something. Somebody recently, one of our good ladies, told me, she said, you know, I was feeding someone who was hungry. And she said, you know, Brother Owens, when I went to my cupboard, I didn't get the food that I didn't like. And I didn't get the generics. I didn't get the trashy leftovers. I gave them my very best. And that's what love does. Love gives its very best. Love, that's the way love is. Hey, listen. Love cost God His Son.
Love cost Jesus His life. Let me reword that. God's love for you cost Him His Son. Jesus' love for you cost Him His life. Love may cost you something. Love may force you out of your comfort zone. Love may cost you some personal security. Love may cost you some patience. Love may cost you some prayer time. Love may cost you something that you need to sacrifice to prove that love is more important than things to you. You know, if God has your love, God has your wallet. Bottom line. Bottom line. Just so you know, when you tithe, you are not sacrificing, nor are you living by faith. You are living by commandment. But I'm here to tell you today, folks, love is going to cost you something. And the more you love, the more it will cost you. And there are some people that are ready to turn me off right now. Because we are such a stingy people. I say to you, God loves you. He's your great teacher. I say to you, we are commanded to love people. I said to you, the more people you love, the more people you can love. I've said to you, the more you love, the more it will cost you. Let me say number 5. The deeper you love, the fewer people can love you back to the same degree. The deeper that you love, the fewer people can love you back to that same degree. We're separating the men from the boys. We're separating the baby Christians from those that have a maturity about them that love by principle, not by personality. They love because God said to love. And they do it passionately and willingly. The deeper you love, the fewer people can love you back to that same degree. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19 says, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." He loves you so deep, you can't understand it. God loves you so much, you can't fathom it. Jesus loved you so dearly, your mind cannot perceive the depth and the quality and the intensity of His love for you. In other words, somebody can love deeper than the recipient's ability to understand. And somebody can love deeper than the recipient's ability to return that love. If you don't understand it, how are you going to return it? See, God has no one who can love Him like He loves us. And that kills me. I feel like God deserves for somebody to love Him back. It's not going to happen. His love is too deep. His love is too vast. And I say to you, the deeper that you love, the fewer the number of people that can reciprocate that love. His love is so powerful, no one can return love to that degree back to God. And if you love many and deeply, you will experience the same situation of God. If you love deeply and you love many, you will go through a part of life and you will be loving and you'll feel lonely. See, true deep love has a certain loneliness to it. That's why we must bask in the love of God. You'll never outlove Him. You may outlove other human beings, but you're not outlove God. And when you say, "I'm loving deeply, Brother Owens, and I'm loving many, and I feel lonely," hey, let me tell you something. Run to the arms of Jesus. He can love you back. Man cannot reciprocate adequately. Just think how God feels. Nobody can love Him back, and I think we should try. Parents, your children won't love you like you love them. Leaders, your followers won't love you like you love them. The greater a leader loves, the lonelier the leader is for that quality of love to be given back. You say, "Brother Owens, I'm loving a lot, I'm loving deeply, but I am experiencing a certain loneliness." I congratulate you. I congratulate you. Say, I don't know if anybody understands. God does. That's where He lives 24/7. You see, the deeper you love, the fewer people can love you back to that same degree. It was their fifth anniversary, and Al and Alice had just returned from the store where Alice had purchased a love novel. Alice was feeling romantic. She said, "Will you love me when my hair is turned silver?" she crooned. "Why not?" grumbled Al. "Why not? Didn't I love you through the other four shades?" That's love. And for men, she'll love you when it not only turns gray, but when it turns loose and you become a marble top. I say to you, God loves you. He did not just love you so you were the recipient. He loved you to teach you. And God, you say, I have never had anybody sit down and teach me to love. God loves you. You have a teacher. And God loves us, and He commands us then to love people. And the more people you love, the more people you can love. And the more you love, the more it's going to cost you. And the deeper you love, the fewer people can return that love to that same degree. Let me say number six. The deeper you love, the deeper the possibility of hurt.
Yes, sir.
Now we're talking about quality of love. The deeper you love, the deeper the possibility of your hurt. See, deep loving people have broken hearts for the object of their love. It's just the way it is. The longer two people have been married and in love, the more devastating the divorce. The height of love's mountain is determined by the depth of its valley, or the depth of its valley is determined by the height of love's mountain. The deeper you love, the deeper the potential hurt that comes as a result of love. Little love produces little hurt. Average love produces average hurt. Great love produces great hurt. The deeper the love, the more satisfying it is, but the greater the potential hurt by the lover. Once again, I'll lose some of you. I'll tell you why. You're not willing to be hurt for somebody else. The human race is so stingy. It's so stingy. I say the deeper you love, the deeper the potential of your hurt. Let me go on. Number seven. The greater number of people that you love, the greater number of people that can hurt you. Now, it's different than the last statement. The last statement was about quality of love, depth of love. Now let's talk about the quantity of people that you're going to love. This makes sense. The greater the number of people that you love, the greater the number of people that can hurt you. And again, we lose a few more Christians. We don't want to love a bunch of people and it's going to cost me something. I don't want to love deeply. It may cost me something. You can be glad God doesn't have that attitude. You can be glad that God emotionally is, as not as lethargic as Christianity is. You can be glad that God said, I'll give it all. I'll love to the depth of love. I'll give it all. Thank God for God. Thank God. What a good teacher. What a good example. The greater number of people that you love, the greater number of people then that have the potential of hurting you. Ecclesiastes 7:4 says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Speaking of a wise person, their heart, their love, it says it's in the house of mourning. That means that they're virtually living in a household where there's hurt. Always hurting for someone. Always mourning some type of a loss. I'm not talking about depression now. I'm talking about people that hurt because of the hurt of other people. It's just common sense. The more people you love, then the more the potential of you being hurt along the way. Do you not love because of your fear of the responsibility of loving? And again, I go back to a characterless nation. We want welfare Christianity like we want welfare checks. Gimme, 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 but I don't want it to cost me anything. Love me, love me, love me, love me, but I'm not loving back. Meet my need, meet my need, meet my need, meet my need, meet my need. Bail me out, bail me out, bail me out, bail me out, bail me out. Give to me, give to me, give to me. And God said, you're to wake up in your Christianity and you're to be meeting somebody else's need. I get some of you out of the mess that you're in. You're in the mully grubs all the time. Get your eyes off yourself. People that are busy loving other people and loving many people and loving deeply, they're too busy to look at all their problems. You see, the more people you love, the more... Hey, I love this statement. It's so simple, but I love it. The more people you love, the more successful a Christian you are.
Yes, sir.
I can't think of any better standard. If the trademark of the Christian is love, then the more people you love, the more successful a Christian you are. That is not the sum total of Christianity, but I'll guarantee you that's part of the backbone of this thing.
Yes, sir.
The most successful person in our church doesn't necessarily have to be the person that's got the highest title. You can love without a title. You can love without a position. The more people you love, the greater your chance of a broken heart, though. God loves everybody. Look at the chance He took. We can't get you to step out beyond your family. Some of you don't even love your family. I mean, if it's true, and it is, the greater number of people that you love, the greater the potential of hurt. What risk did God take on the human race's behalf? He said, I'm going to love them all. And to what depth does God suffer? He loves deeper than man can perceive. So He hurts deeper than man can perceive. I'm going to say something. I hope you'll take it well. Some here need to be hurt more often. See, what do you mean, Brother Owens? The more people you love, the more times you're going to find hurt in life. It's time for some of you to experience hurt by many more people. Why? Because you launch out in love. We are emotionally recluse, hiding in the closet of our fear. Come out of that closet. Find some people. Launch a love relationship. Say, I might get hurt. Exactly. Exactly. You might. Jesus did. God did. And many others have too. What makes you the exception? This is what makes a church great. There are some of you, you could give me every book of the Bible. You could quote chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. You tithe. You're separated. You're faithful to church. The question is, who do you love outside your own family that can testify today? I've learned love. I see love. I am loved by that man right there and that lady right there. They truly love me. Let me say, number 8, the ones you love the most then have the potential to be the ones that will hurt you the most. You say, well, those sound so much alike. No, listen. I said a moment ago, the deeper you love, the deeper you'll hurt. That's a quality. Then I said, the greater number of people that you love, the greater number of people that can hurt you. That's a quantity. Now I want to talk to you about the individuals found within those two statements. The ones you love the most have the potential to be the ones that will hurt you the most. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 15 says, And I will very gladly spend and be spit for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Remember, love from a pure heart means a love that is not interested in a reciprocation. You say, what's that mean? What's that word mean? You're not trying to get anything out of it for yourself. You're just trying to meet the need of the recipient. You have the greatest joy in the ones you invest the most love, but the more you give your heart, the more it can be broken. And that is one of the responsibilities, one of the realities of love. The more you give your heart, the more someone can abuse that heart. They say, well, I'm not going to let my heart get abused, and then continue to be a poor Christian. Because the great heart of God was broken for you. We're so stingy. The people who love you the most, hey, let me ask all of you to do the people that love you a favor. The people that love you most, they don't deserve to be hurt. You young people, I bleed for some of your mamas. Your mamas love you so much. You don't even understand how much your mama loves you. You have no concept how much your daddy loves you and wants good for you. And you turn around and you hurt them. They love you so deeply. And let me remind those of us that are the recipients of love, when people love us deeply, we can destroy those people. We can damage and injure them. Oh my goodness. We must keep our hearts pure and clean and right. Why? For the sake of the people that love us. For the sake of your God. The more people you love, the more successful you are as a Christian. Hey, I said the ones you love the most have the potential to be the ones that will hurt you most. And those of you that are loved deeply, you be reminded with the depth of love that is given to you, there is a potential depth of hurt from the person that gave it to you. Don't break their heart. It's much like the stock market. Usually, the more you invest, the more you can earn, but the more you can lose. Love's a lot that way. You say, I invest big in love with that person. Okay, then that person has the potential to cause you great loss. The devil wants to hurt those who practice God's love, so he'll try to hurt them by using the greatest recipients of their love to break the heart of the giver. Did you hear what I said? The devil wants to hurt those who practice love the greatest, so he will try to hurt them by using the recipient of their love to get back at the lover. Hey, Sunday school teacher, if you really throw your heart into that Sunday school class, there are going to be some people that you love. Get ready. The ones that you put the most into, the ones that you love the most, the ones that you pray the most for have the potential of hurting you the most. Yes, sir. Hey, bus captain. I thank God we've got some bus captains that really care. They're not hurting people. They're helping people. And let me say, bus captain, get ready. That young person that you love and you invest in. You put them in the Christian school and you help them and you pay their way. That bus rider that you invest in them and you love them and you pray for them and you feed them and you clothe them and you meet their needs and you go by on birthdays and anniversaries and you help them and you help them and you help them and you help them and you give and you give and you give. Get ready to whatever depth you have given. There is also a depth of injury that is possible. Once again, because the ones you love the most have the potential to be the ones that hurt you most. Believe me, I know. As a pastor, you can love people and meet their needs and preach to them and love them and help them pay their bills and help them in the hard times and love them when they're unlovable and be kind and generous and gentle. Sometimes they're the first ones to stab you in the back. So I don't want stabbed in the back. Yeah, and Jesus didn't necessarily want nails in the hands. Jesus didn't want necessarily his beard plucked, but he did. Why? Because he loves you. You see, in the story of Daniel, when he was in captivity, there was a relationship built between him and a person that wasn't even in his family to the point that this his captor was saying, I'm going to put my neck on the line. I could lose my head over the relationship that I have with you. Well, that's big. But you must understand something. To love costs something. Love is not a game. Boy, you get to watching Hollywood and love is turned into lust and love is it's not understood. Love is work. Love is on purpose. Love is by principle. I'll tell you what. You have to be relatively tough to really love. You say, what? Oh, yeah. If you're really going to love God's way, if you're a wimp, you're not going to make it. Because you must control yourself. You must do what's right because the Bible says so, not because you feel like it. Not because they are lovable. You love the unlovable. Why? It is a responsibility of a Christian. You say, well, it seems to take all the ooey-gooey out of it. No, tuck deep in there in the Holy Spirit. There is so much wonderful, wonderful benefit. It's incredible. But we love when it's easy. Don't you love when it's hard? Let me say this, and this will be the last point, and I'll close. Then after that, I'll close again. And a few minutes later, I'll close again. Number 9, love's positives outweigh love's sacrifices. You see, in what I've been teaching you today, we've taken a little of the emotion out of love and we've put the biblical principle of love in. We don't really like that. Because today I've said if you're going to love and love right, it's going to take character. If you're going to love and love right, it's going to be out of obedience. If you're going to love and love right, it's going to be because you're not stingy and you obey God and you want to be like God. We really like the ooey gooey emotional fluff. That's why we're so surface in our love. Oh, but let me say to you, love's positives outweigh love's sacrifices. Ecclesiastes 1:16 says, I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Love is a great quality. Love is a great experience. Love is a great opportunity. Love is a wonderful privilege. Love is an honor. Hey, if you love, you get to do what God does. You get to be like God as you love. Let me say this. It is worse to not love than to face the responsibilities and opportunities of real godly love. I said it is worse to not love than to face the responsibilities and opportunities of real godly love. See, to characterless, stingy people, we say, don't want anything to do with that then. I'll try to muster up enough just for me and my household and everybody else can just rot as far as I'm concerned. Sounds to me like it's going to cost me something. Let me tell you something. It'll cost you more by not doing it than it'll cost you by doing it. There's a statement that is secular, but it's true. Better to have loved and lost than to have never loved. Listen, remember earlier I told you that when you love, there's a loneliness that goes along with it? The loneliness of no love is worse than the loneliness of deep love. Deep love's loneliness is rewarding. No love's loneliness is terrible. It's empty. It's rewardless. It's stingy. It's depressing. The mountaintop bliss of loving is worth the valley of disappointment in those that you love. Loving many and risking hurt by many is better than loving few. Loving deeply and risking deep hurt is better than shallow love.
Because you're better off to have loved and lost and suffered than to have never loved. You're better off just in this life, but I'll tell you this also, you're better off in the next life to come. God took a chance to love all and took the chance of being hurt by all. God took the chance of loving more deeply than man could perceive and take the chance of being hurt more deeply than man could perceive. I said this, there are people in this church who do not love this church, but they love what this church does for them. You and yours is about as far as your commitment goes. But there are others who are not only love what they get out of this church, but they love the church and love to be contributors to the church's well-being. These are the ones that make the church what it is. These are the love givers, not just the love receivers. These are your long-term, long-standing, loyal, stable, predictable church members. Something happened where Daniel, somebody outside his family, was willing to risk his life for Daniel. So I'm going to put my neck on the line for you. It's going to cost me something. Love lifted me. And since love lifted me, then I need to lift you. And you need to lift somebody else. And that somebody else needs to lift somebody else. And a chain reaction of deep, abiding love should take place. I call the lesson tender love. Somebody here needs to get the CD of this and listen to it over and over and over again. There's far more here than what 45 minutes will allow your mind to absorb. Love. The trademark of the Christian. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God loves you. He loves you. And God wants to save you. He wants to take you to heaven someday when you die. I hope you'll trust Him as Savior. There are some of you, you need to fix the love in that little circle of people that you live with. There's a lack of love going on in your home. And this kind of love that I'm talking about, it's not just between you and the brethren. It's talking about between you and your wife, and you and your husband, and you and your mom, and you and your dad, and you and, hey, those people that you live with. But wait a minute, it's to go further than that. It's between you and I, and the brethren, and the sister, and here in the church. But it's to go further than that. What that world out there needs is to see some genuine, old-fashioned, holy people that know how to love by principle, not by personality. That it need not be reciprocated, but it's given because they've learned about the real love of God.